The formation of the Free Presbyterian Church on the 17th of March in 1951 is probably still fresh in the memories of some people today, and they can recall those years and those days with great joy and great satisfaction. Nevertheless, some 41 years have almost passed since that time, and we thank God for the blessings that has been bestowed upon our denomination and upon our people across the land. The members of this congregation and all its friends, we rejoice in all that the Lord has done for us since the formation of this work 25 years ago, on the 5th of February 1967. We thank God for those who took their stand and unashamedly stepped outside the ecumenism and apostasy of Irish Presbyterianism and other ecumenical churches, and they stood together to form a witness here in this town and to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, as a result of their faith and labours and work and stand, we as a congregation are celebrating 25 years this week of witness to the glory of the Lord. It's, I'm sure, very difficult for those who were here in the early days to take in that 25 years have passed already. But in spite of the passing of the years, many in our congregation still vividly remember those days. Remember the blessings. They remember the battlings. They remember the work. And they can recall with great joy God being with them and times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We do thank God for our moderator, Dr. Paisley, and for the part that he has played, not only in the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church and denomination, but also for the part which he played in helping at the beginning of this witness and since that time down through the years. And no doubt the formation of our own church here in 1967, as I've said, is still fresh in many memories, but 25 years have passed. Time is rolling on. Time marches by. And maybe very soon for some, the day of opportunity will be gone and the day of service will be over. But we do praise God today for all that has been accomplished, for all that has been done in his name. And while these past 25 years have been years of blessing, first of all in the Clare Hall, then in George Street, and now here on the Banbridge Road. And as a congregation, we can lift our Ebenezer unto the Lord, as Samuel did, and we can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I suppose in times like this, of celebration and anniversary, it's the normal attitude for us to look back and to consider all the way that the Lord hath led us these 25 years. But as we look back, we're also conscious of the need of looking forward, because we can't rest on past laurels or past blessings. These can never, never suffice for the future. Therefore, we must look forward, and we must give thanks for the past and trust God for what is still to come. However, it is customary on occasions such as these to reflect on the past and to recalls some of the marvelous things that the Lord has done for us. And truly, as many of you will be doing that in your own hearts, you'll not be able to help but raise up your voice and your heart in thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done. The psalmist said in Psalm 77, verse 11, he said, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old." And as we remember God's works over the years and the wonders which he has performed, truly we have much to give thanks for. And whilst we gratefully rejoice in all that God has done and in all that he has given and in the blessings which he has bestowed upon us, we acknowledge that this is indeed God's work. We acknowledge that anything that has been accomplished has been done through the Lord, by the Lord himself, and for the glory of his name. We would say in the words of the hymn writer, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done." And we say, "Not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give all the glory." And so we would today raise our Ebenezer and say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And as we come to this week of special meetings and to this 25th anniversary, we are reminded of how quickly the days roll by, of how quickly the years roll by, and time is certainly going on very fast. And soon the place that knows many of us now will know us no more, and that forever. And one of the most thought-provoking and challenging verses ever written by a hymn writer were written by that hymn writer of the hymn that we've just been singing, when it says there, "There's only one life on this earth, and as vapor it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day." Surely that's a challenge to us. And it presents a mighty challenge today. Only one life on this earth, and like a vapor, it is passing away. Remember, it's only what's done for the Lord Jesus that's going to last. It's only what's done for him that will count. Another verse of a hymn puts it this way: "Only one life to live, I must not withhold that from God. Only one life to give, I must not miss the well done of God." That chorus of the hymn also puts it succinctly for us today and brings a challenge to our hearts. The Lord has called his people to a warfare. He has called his people to a battle against the world, a battle against the flesh, a battle against the devil. Today, I wonder if we are warring a good warfare. I wonder if we are living for the glory of God, if our lives are on the altar for his service, and if we are being spent to the glory of the Lord's name. There is a warning in the scriptures against spiritual sloth. And it's very clear from Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." And after years, perhaps, of toiling, years of labor, witness, it's very easy to slacken and to permit ourselves to become at ease in Zion. "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion." May it be that instead of the woe being pronounced We may hear the blessing, the benediction. Blessed are those that are laboring for the Lord. The Christian, the believer, having received freely of God's gift of salvation, is to be a worker, is to be a witness, and a workman for the Lord. And we need to continually ask ourselves the question, what am I doing personally for the extension of Christ's kingdom here on earth? And as we review our own lives, and as we challenge our hearts with this question today, I wonder if we can say honestly that we have served the Master faithfully. I wonder, can we say we're in the place where God wants us to be? I wonder, are we saying in our hearts as we reflect on the past, I wish I had given him more? I wonder, would that be the response? Perhaps it ought to be the response of all of us as we reflect on the past and look back. And while we may count the blessings and rejoice in all that God has done, let it be that we might be able to say, as we sit at Jesus' feet and reflect on the past and say, I wish I had given him more. And as we are challenged, then by the grace of God, we surrender afresh and we give our hearts to him and we say, Lord, have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Remember Solomon, after spending many years as king of Israel, he came to that bitter conclusion in his own heart. At the end of his life, he said, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. No doubt he was a child of God. No doubt he was a son of the great king. But here he misspent his life. He misspent his life in the world, in its pleasures and in its sins, occupied with its materialism. And at the end of life, as he reflects, looks back, now he's an old man, his years are gone, he has to confess from the very depths of a broken heart and a smitten soul, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. What a tragedy to come to the end of a certain period in life. To come to the end of a certain period of years, maybe 25 years of existence here in the witness concerning Lurgan Free Church, and to reflect and to have to say in the same words as Solomon, looking back, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. What a tragedy. But you know, that tragedy can be turned into triumph. That is, that if from this moment in time, in this place and this seat where you sit, you say, Lord, have thine own way. Lord, here I give my all to thee. Here I surrender wholly. Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And I believe that as we do that, on this occasion of our celebration, then it'll be worthwhile, for God will come and God will bless his own word. God will bless your heart in the days that lie ahead. Let me ask a question that has been asked so many times, and perhaps it is appropriate again today. Believer, are you living as God would have you to live? Perhaps I'll put it another way. God may challenge your hearts. Believer, are you living out and out for Jesus Christ? Do you expect to hear from him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, happy will such a man or woman be on that day who hears the well done of God and who enters into the glory of God and has that abundant entrance in triumph through the pearly gates, hearing the well done of God. On the other hand, how solemn and how sad are the words of the poet when he penned these lines: "Nothing but leaves, the spirit grieves, or years of wasted life, or sins indulged while conscience slept, or vows and promises unkept, and reaps from years of strife nothing but leaves." Friend, that's the alternative. And the challenge lies before us today. God said to Moses, we read it in our scripture reading in Exodus 14, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And in writing to the Hebrew Christians, Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, "Let us go on." There's no turning back in God's work. There's no going back in regard to the call of God. Let us go on. Let us press towards the mark, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And as we look back, we look forward, we face the challenge, and we know that God will be with us. It is, on occasions such as these, a wonderful thing to glance back and to see the path we have trodden and to marvel at the great things that God has done for us and the way that God has led us. But we must not gaze forever over our shoulder, lest we stumble as we go forward. We must look to the future, and we must go forward. The people of God and the church of God, they are called upon to go forward as Moses commanded the Israelites. And when these Israelites escaped from Egypt, we learn from Exodus that they were confronted with the waters of the Red Sea. They were pursued by the armies of the Egyptians. And on either side, there were the walls of mountains to prevent them moving. But they were not to stand still. To stand still on that particular occasion would have meant defeat. They'd have fallen into the arms and into the hand of the Egyptians, and defeat would have stared them straight in the face. But God said, "Go forward. Go forward." That was the only way of victory, the only way of escape from the clutches of the enemy, is to go on. As Paul said to the Hebrew Christians, "Let us go on. Go forward. Let us serve the Lord faithfully." And I trust that likewise we will press forward with the same determination and the same dedication as Moses and his people at the Red Sea. Let us today rededicate ourselves, surrendering our lives afresh to the Lord, trusting God that he may take us forward to greater things in the days that lie ahead. We think of the various parts of the work of God in this congregation. We think of our children's work. We need to press forward in our Sabbath school and midweek meeting. We need people who'll be willing to press the battle to the gate, who will go forward, who will join others and take up the challenge and together form an army for God in seeking to win the lambs for Christ. I wonder, will you face the challenge? The challenge perhaps of Sabbath school work, the challenge perhaps of the midweek meeting in reaching children, in helping, in going out, in seeking to bring them in under the sound of God's word. Will you seek the Lord's will in this matter and go forward and press on in the work of God? Our church needs a vibrant outreach to those around, to men and women perhaps who have no thought of Jesus Christ, no thought of coming to hear God's word. Know how we can sleep and become slumbering in the work of God. And I believe God would challenge us that we might have a vibrant outreach even to those around us, seeking to bring them under the sound of God's word and bringing God's word to them. What about the young people of today? Many there are who carelessly drift through their teenage years, who further on continue to be careless and indifferent concerning the things of God. Oh, how we need to realize perhaps these years in a young person's life can be very difficult. As they seek to establish their identity in a hostile world and in a sinful environment, they need to be encouraged. And our young people's fellowship and young people's activities, this is intended, and it's meant for it to be a place where young people meet together, where they will pray together, where they will study together, where they will stay together and seek to establish themselves in the work of God and to go through with God. Young people, could I appeal to you on this 25th anniversary that you take this challenge to your heart? Maybe you're not saved. I trust you'll take the challenge. Christ is knocking at your heart's door. You'll come to the cross. You'll acknowledge that He is Savior and the only Savior. Young Christian, you take the challenge. Look how God can use you in the days that lie ahead, even amongst other young people, in the fellowship with them, and seeking to establish them in the faith and encouraging them in the work of God. Oh, I trust that all of us in this congregation today, young and old, parents alike, will encourage each other to go through with God. As a congregation, we'll have a vision of the lost. We'll see the harvest fields white already. We'll see the laborers are few. We'll realize that God is calling as He called in past times. He's calling for those who will yield themselves, yield their all, and will say, Lord, here am I. Take me, send me, and use me for Thine own glory. And then as I close, I'm reminded that passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 20, where Paul was saying his farewell address to the church at Ephesus. He reminded them in that chapter times of blessing. Paul reminded them and himself times of blessing and refreshment as God poured out His Spirit upon His work at Ephesus in the years that were past. Truly, as we seek to be faithful, as we seek to serve the Lord with pure heart and a pure conscience, we shall experience God's blessing in the days to come. We can indeed look back and thank God for those blessings which are past. and we can trust him for the blessings which are still to come. As well, in verse 32 of that chapter 20 of Acts, Paul reminds them that they were building a work for God. He reminded them of the blessings. He reminded them of the building. He was concerned that the saints of God be built up, that they be established in the faith. And his desire for them was that they might be built up in evangelism, might be built up in faithfulness to God, built up in prayer and supplication at the throne of grace, built up in power to stand against the wolves that would come in, against the apostasy of the day, against the inroads of heresy and false teaching, that they might be established, that they might be built upon the sure and solid foundation of the Word of God. And over these years, it has been our desire and prayer and longing that God's people in this part of the vineyard might be built and established upon the foundation of God's truth, and that they might be blessed with the blessings of God. And Paul reminded them in verses 29 and 30 of that chapter of the battles that they had faced. After God's blessing, there's always a time of battling. This congregation found it at the beginning to be so, and so did our denomination down through the years. There are times of blessing, but there are also times of battling. You think of the apostasy today. You think of the ecumenism, the various churches and denominations of our land. And oh, how we need to battle against the compromise of this age and battle faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord himself preserve us as a people. In the midst of all these battles, may the Lord preserve us in the days to come as we stand against the world and the flesh and the devil and those who would seek to destroy the testimony of truth in our land. May God preserve our testimony and our people and keep his good hand upon us. There will be many dangers, as there were in the past. There will be the satanic opposition in many forms. There will be the satanic counterfeits coming in their many forms as well. But let's keep our eyes upon the Lord. Let's be faithful to his word. Let's not be sidetracked into any such false, unscriptural experiences, such as the charismatic movement, such as the tongues speaking or the miracle mongering charismatic peoples of this land and across the world. Let us today reaffirm our stand. Let us today kneel our colours afresh to the mass. These are things for which this church was called into being to combat and to fight against. These were things which for which God called this people into being to be a testimony against. May we ever maintain that testimony. May we ever seek to spread that testimony. And in the battles of the future, may we not be afraid of the darts of the enemy, for we have been promised the shield of God. The shield, which is the shield of faith, will be able thereby to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so may the Lord keep us all in his blessing. May the Lord enable us all to be built up. May the Lord help us to be victorious in our battles. May the Lord be glorified in the days to come as we press on with him. How good God has been to us. How wonderful his grace, his mercy, and his love. We thank him for his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for us, who gave us all that we might be saved, who on the cross
died and suffered. There, laying down his life in agony and shame. And as we stand afresh to gaze upon that cross, and as we see from his head, from his hands and his feet, sorrow and love flowing mingled down, did e'er such love or sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that would be an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my soul, my life, my all. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Let us go on. Let us press towards the mark. Let us do the will of God. Let us serve him with all our hearts, being faithful to our calling in Christ. Let us pray together in prayer.